Inside everyone, there is a positive human being. Like the atom is positively charged at the center, the nucleus and the electrons, the negatively charged particles are just around it, orbiting it. Like that, at our core, we are love. We are peace. We are joy. And all the negativities are circling around. So when we become in touch with our real self, then there's a transformation in the way we see the world.
Welcome to The Lavenderet Lifestyle, the podcast on personal growth and lifestyle design. My name's Eileen, and I'm here to guide you to shine as your brightest self and create your dream life. We all have a light within and the power to create a life we love. Every Sunday, we'll share thoughtful conversations exploring how we can build a better future for ourselves and our world. Life is an art. Make it your masterpiece. Hello, my loves. Welcome back to the Lavender Lifestyle Podcast. It's Eileen. In today's episode, we talk about the power of breath and meditation for managing stress, anxiety, negative emotions, and also to give us more energy to live our best lives. We also touch on conscious living and bringing more consciousness, emotional resilience, and peace to our society, from world leaders and governments all the way to our youth. Our guest today is Dr. Ajay Tejasvi. Dr. Ajay Tejasvi is a renowned meditation and breathwork expert and a part of the executive team for the Art of Living Foundation. As a key figure in Gurudev's Sri Sri Ravi Shankar's office in Washington, D.C., he contributes to diverse global initiatives. Ajay holds a PhD in political science and is actively involved in supporting education, youth, and women's empowerment initiatives. Before we begin, a quick plug for my favorite New Year planning tool. The Artist of Life Workbook is your ultimate guide to designing an intentional and successful 2026. With 150 pages of prompts and exercises, it helps you reflect, set meaningful goals, and stay accountable to creating a life you love. If you want to create your best year yet, just go to shop.lavenderet.com to check it out. Hello, Ajay. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you, Eileen. So glad to be here with you.
Yes. Okay. So why don't we start with explaining what is the art of living? For those of the listeners who don't know what you do, tell me about your work and what is the Art of Living Foundation?
Thank you for that, Eileen. And I also saw that you talk about living life as an art. Right?
Yes.
And that's exactly what the art of living is. It's about learning how to live your life to the fullest. And what that means is learning to connect to yourself in a more meaningful, real way. And that is about learning to manage your own emotions. Very often, neither at home nor at school are we taught how to manage our emotions, right? People say, don't get upset, don't get angry. But how not to get angry, how not to get upset, that is not taught. So in the art of living, we share practical tools that are breath-based. Actually, I would say the founder of the Art of Living, Gurudev, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, is the pioneer of breathwork in the modern age.
Wow.
Where you have a practical tool to help you manage your own negative emotions, your own thoughts, so that you can take decisions with clarity and you can be at your 100% to live life as an art.
I love that. So beautiful. I want to learn about you and your journey too, because it's quite unique. You come from like the corporate background, working at World Bank, and now you're supporting this mission, teaching breathwork and meditation worldwide. So what inspired this path of yours?
You know, it was quite natural for me. I grew up in a family that was very engaged in social service and thinking about the larger community as my own. So right from a very young age, my parents, my grandparents, and Gurudev, everybody inspired me and my younger brother to feel as though the whole world was our family. So it was quite natural for me to feel, what more can I do for this world? And which is why I moved from technology. I'm an engineer by training, but I went into foreign policy for development and eventually ended up getting a PhD. Focused on leadership strategies that would help larger communities move out of poverty and difficult situations. While I was doing this, I ended up at the World Bank for about 15 years. And I was focused on how can leaders feel more connected and more committed to their cause. And I found that the work of the Art of Living was very synergistic to this cause, where most leaders, I would say, have too much to do, not enough time, and not enough energy. And this is true of a lot of us today, isn't it? That's what causes us stress. Yeah. So what can we do? We all have the same 24 hours. We all have a lot to do. It's very difficult to remove things from our plate. But what we can improve is the energy. And what I found through the Art of Living techniques was I was able to improve my own energy levels. And I was able to give more attention to the task on hand. My mind was present. And so I said, hey, I'm able to take better decisions this way. And I found that naturally applied to whatever field I looked at, be it the corporate sector or academia, or I would say people in the arts as well. When your mind is clear, then the whole world is your place to paint your painting, right? You can create your art. It's your tapestry. And when the mind isn't, then it's very difficult, right? So for me, it was natural. It sort of, I found my way looking at how we can apply this practical tool and in so many contexts in today's world. So that brought me to this place. So I find that it's not something that's very different from regular life. We still face challenges, but how we deal with those challenges matters. And that's what the Art of Living taught me, that you can strengthen yourself, you can build that resilience within you, and you can take on life's challenges with a smile.
Was meditation always a part of your life, or did you learn all this through the Art of Living?
I learned it through the Art of Living. I learned to meditate when I was 15. And before that, I would see folks around me with their eyes closed. So I would just sit down sometimes with my eyes closed. But I learned the Art of Living Sahaj Samadhi meditation technique when I was 15. And ever since then, that helped bring a lot more clarity. You know, when we're in our teenagers, there's a lot going on, right? Lots of things happening in our own minds. And what I found was this helped me give the mind a little bit of a pause so that I could just regain my energy and then take on the day, whatever it was. So I learned this. And over the years, I found that its impact has grown within me. I find that I don't get as angry anymore. And even if I do get angry, I'm able to like snap out of it quickly. Mm-hmm. Very often I find people, especially people who are quite intellectual and intelligent also, dare I say, are more prone to anger. They feel like, because they want everything to be perfect, right? When something is not perfect, then they get upset about it. And then what happens is that you end up punishing yourself. You're upset, you're angry, not just with yourself, but with others. And then that just sours the whole day. What I found these techniques helped me was snap out of it much sooner. So I found that over the years, it has helped me be more present and be able to connect with people around me in a more real way.
Time for a quick break for today's sponsor, Shopify. Courage isn't the absence of doubt. It's deciding to move forward anyway. It's building something meaningful, even when you can't see the entire path. It's believing in your vision enough to take that first step. When I look back at every meaningful thing I've created, from Lavender to the Artist of Life workbook, they all started with that one moment of deciding, this matters enough to figure it out. Shopify made that figuring out so much simpler. Suddenly, I wasn't drowning in systems and admin. I was building my dream. Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide and is behind 10% of all e-commerce in the US. With hundreds of beautiful templates, AI-powered tools for content creation, integrated marketing and email campaigns, plus complete logistics management, Shopify becomes your business partner from day one. You bring the vision, Shopify brings everything else. Turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/TLL. Go to shopify.com/TLL. shopify.com/TLL. So why don't you tell us about sky breath meditation then? Explain what it is and how is it different from other forms of meditation and breath work?
So, you know, our emotions have a specific impact on our physiology. Have you observed when you're happy, you breathe a certain way? Like you have a, there's a focus on the in-breath, right? And when you're angry, there's a certain kind of breath that comes up, right?
Yeah, the exhale, the sigh, the angry. Yep.
Yeah. And when you're sad also, you go, again, focus on the out-breath. So in the same way, the mind has an impact on your physiology through your breath. You can have a positive impact on your mind by using the breath in certain ways, by learning to breathe in certain ways. And this is at the core of the principle of the art of living, where the breath, which is in the present moment, can be used in a way to manage your mind. Because the mind does its own thing, right? Right now, as we are having this conversation, hopefully it's still here. Very often what happens is that when you're speaking to somebody, the mind is somewhere else. Either you're thinking about something that happened in the past, or it's thinking, it's anxious about the future. It's rare to find the mind to be present right now. And as we try more and more to bring the mind to the present moment, what happens is that it resists, right? It pushes back on you. And it's very hard, right? You've tried to tell yourself to fall asleep before an early morning flight, and somehow you find yourself in bed, staying awake for longer, right? So it's important to understand that the mind and the body work on opposite paradigms. For the body to be in peak condition, effort is needed. You need to work out. You need to eat right. You need to be able to sleep just the right amount of hours that you need, 6 to 8 hours. But for the mind to be in peak condition, you need to learn how to relax, to let go. And this is where the breath is a powerful tool. The breath helps us bring the mind to the present moment. You're attaching the mind to the breath in that sense. So the sky breath meditation is a rhythmic breathing technique, which helps you harmonize your thoughts and emotions with the present moment. And the result of it is deep relaxation as well as awareness. So this is a very rare combination. A lot of scientific studies have gone into this technique over the last 45 years. 247 research studies where they find that this program helps you get to that state, that flow state, where you're both relaxed as well as alert. The sky breath is very unique in that sense that it uses the breath. You harness the power of the breath to bring the mind to a state of calm.
Can you demonstrate an example of the sky breath meditation? Is there only one way to do it, or are there different types?
So the sky breath meditation itself is something that you learn over a period of 6 hours, which is spread over 3 days. So there are about 40,000 instructors of this technique around the world, including here in Buenos Aires, in Argentina, where I am. And you learn this over a course of a weekend and you practice it. So the sky breath itself has 4 different techniques that are part of it and different ways in which you learn to breathe. So it would take a little bit longer than the time we have in the podcast.
Can you demonstrate what it sounds like or feels like?
So, you know, I can demonstrate a different breathing technique, you know, that can help you whenever you're feeling a little nervous, or you're feeling like you want to get in front of you have a big meeting coming up, or you want to have, you know, you're going to get in front of a big group of people, or before, like you feel a little nervous, right? So one thing that you could do is, even with a little bit of you can take your handkerchief or a piece of tissue and you just go, You've seen children do this, right? When they're angry, what do? They stomp their feet and go, right? And it's called the breath. Yeah? So you can do that like 3 to 4 times. And then you feel a rush of, I would say, valor or that comfort, you know? So there are different breaths, different breathing techniques that you can use in different situations. And these are some of the tips and tools that you learn in this Sky Breath workshop.
I see. So you're saying how many different types of breath techniques are there?
I would say there are hundreds of them. There are many, many different kinds. But in the Sky Breath technique, you learn some core basic breathing techniques that will help you on your path.
I see.
To help manage your mind and feel more relaxed and present.
I see.
The core is the Sky Breath, the Sudarshan Kriya Yoga, which is this rhythmic breathing technique. But this is the breath.
Yes.
It's almost like invoking the valor within you. You can try it if you feel next time. You can.
Yes. So that's an example of a simple practice. But can you explain what's an example of like a complex or the most expert level of breath work? Obviously, we're not there, but you must have so much experience. What is a complex breath work practice?
This is the beauty, actually, of the art of living. The mind likes to find something very complex, very difficult to do, because it thinks that, you know, like I said, no, it's the same paradigm, which is effort. The mind is used to that. You feel like you have to work hard to get ahead in life. You have to really, with the mind, it's a different paradigm. The harder you try, the more fleeting it becomes, the more difficult it is to manage the mind. So the simpler, the better for the mind.
Oh, I love that.
So, which is why even a few deep breaths in and out, it can settle the mind immediately. So
yes.
The mind and the body, again, work on opposite paradigms. Simpler, the better. So the Sky Breath is a simple yet profound technique. It's a rhythmic breathing that you will learn on the program.
I see.
There are techniques that are harder, right? Where you hold the breath for certain counts and you breathe in certain ways and so on. But the way in which you start is through just understanding the core way in which we breathe, right? You wanted to learn one technique, right, that you learn on the program. So just observe yourself. Take a deep breath in and breathe out. Now, as you breathe in, observe if your stomach expands as you breathe in, or is it contracting when you breathe in? What did you observe?
Oh, it's expanding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, that a lot of people, because of stress, what happens is that they end up breathing the other way. When they breathe in, the stomach goes inside. And when they breathe out, the stomach comes outside. It's important to remember that we're like, our insides are like, the diaphragm is like a balloon. When you breathe in, it expands. And when you breathe out, it contracts. Because of stress, somehow our breath has been twisted to a different way. So the first thing that you learn is this, and many people find this corrective in their own lives, that their breathing style had changed from the time that they were a baby. Right? So this is called a full yogic breath. When you breathe into your stomach all the way. Expand your stomach, expand your chest, and then as you breathe out, let the stomach fall in and the chest fall in as well. So the basic technique.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one fundamental technique that you learn.
One issue that a lot of people suffer from is like sleep issues or anxiety. I feel like they're very common struggles. So do you have any specific breath or meditation practices that can help someone fall asleep more easily or just calm their nervous system?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Eileen. Just for this, we have what is called the sleep and anxiety protocol. So it's a set of different techniques and exercises which you learn again. It's over a weekend that you can learn. Again, a couple of hours each day. And what you end up with is a simple technique or an array of techniques that you can use at different times, both to manage your anxiety as well as be able to sleep better. And as you know, there are some things for sleep hygiene, right? As you know, keeping your devices away, not using them for maybe 30 to 45 minutes. I know ideally 1 hour before you sleep. Just winding down, reflecting on the day's events, just what happened. Taking a few deep breaths in and out just before you sleep, 10 deep breaths in and out. can help people sleep as well. But we have a full program that can help people. So these are three things that I just mentioned. And, you know, washing your feet with warm water and washing your face and hands and just relaxing, you know, just consciously taking your attention to different parts of your body. Mm. All these will help.
Yes, like getting out of the mind.
Yeah, just helping yourself unwind. But here again, the breath will help as well. And for the anxiety part, as I shared the technique about the technique, that is one of the techniques to help you overcome anxiety. But there are other breathing techniques as well that you will learn that can help. Of course, also spending some time out in nature can help. So make carving out a window within your daily schedule. I know a lot of us work in big cities, but the lucky part is that we have parks around. So making it a point to go for a walk, even in the middle of your busy schedule, trying to take some meetings on the phone where you can walk and talk, or spending some time out in green spaces. All of these will also help the mind relax and also reconnect with nature. What has happened here is that we've become so disconnected from nature. And that causes a lot of these, the breaking of the rhythms within us, the natural rhythms within us.
I have a question about breathing techniques. So when you say take deep breaths, is it only in through your nose and out through your nose? People have different ways of breathing, right? Using your nose or your mouth. But what's the difference between like nose breathing, mouth breathing, or a balance of both?
So yes, there are different techniques. And at different times, different techniques can be employed, right? Especially athletes who train very hard, breathe in through their nose and breathe out through the mouth. That is one way of breathing as well. But as you learn the fundamental practice, we encourage you to breathe in through your nose and breathe out through your nose. Because this is the organ that has been specialized, right? Physiologically as well. We have the little small nose hair inside that filter out any of the particles. It also helps go in completely. It has a little bit of the moisturizing effect as well. Versus if you've noticed, if you breathe in and out through your mouth, your throat feels dry very soon. But when you breathe in through your nose, it's a whole different experience. So some of these things you can experience yourself, you can experiment. But breathing through the nostrils is what is recommended in yoga, especially during yogasanas. So in the Art of Living programs, you learn various techniques, again, through the nostrils. And there are some techniques also that where you breathe out through the mouth, but those are more specialized.
So you're saying most are using nose breathing?
Yes. For instance, if you feel like you have a lot of, I would say, like a lot of pressure in your head, if you're feeling like more hypertensive in one sense, right? You feel a lot of tension. What you can do is called the straw breath. You breathe in through the nose and breathe out as if you have a little straw in your mouth. And you stretch that breath.
Mm-hmm. And what does that do exactly? Yeah. Why is that related to your head?
See, physiologically, it helps you when you breathe out very slowly. It helps slow the parasympathetic nervous system as well. And as you are probably aware, that the breath and the parasympathetic have a very deep connection to our state of mind as well, right? So all of these are interconnected. So when the breath is used in a certain way, it has a specific impact on different parts of our physiology that way. So it's quite fascinating, actually.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, even this rhythmic breathing, the sky breath meditation, it has actually had an impact at the genetic level. It has increased the length of the telomeres, which is what determines your longevity, which influences your immunity. So just even breathing right.
Yeah.
Just using the full capacity of our lungs. You know, we use less than 30% of our lung capacity.
Wow.
So by learning these techniques, we can expand that use of lung capacity and heal ourselves. There is great healing power within ourselves. And the breath holds so many secrets. It's not just even at the physiological level, you feel good. At the mental level also, you feel good. And when the mind calms down, then naturally the inflammation in the body also calms down.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all interconnected, right?
It really is. And if you notice when you're in those anxious states or anger or just in negative emotion states, you're not breathing slow and deep. You're breathing short and fast.
Exactly.
When you get nervous, you're breathing short and fast.
Exactly.
And so the key is like slowing down the breath to calm your body down.
Yes. And different ways, you know, not necessarily only slowing down. See, you also want to be able to expel those negative emotions in one sense. You want to be able to get rid of it. Very often we suppress it. You want to be able to get rid of stress. You want to be able to get it out of your system. And that's where the breath helps. It helps you get rid of the toxins from the system. So what research has shown is that it doesn't only help the mind, but also reduces the stress hormone, cortisol, in our blood.
Yeah.
And long-time practitioners have like half the cortisol levels of a beginner.
I see. So when you say expel it through your breath, do you have a technique or something that you can share? You're just saying just the practice of breathing.
The practice.
It's not like screaming or breathing harder.
No, no. That will make you more stressed.
Yeah. I see.
What I mean is like, see, stress is what gets in the way. And often stress is because of lack of energy, right? You want to do more, but you're not able to. Like I said, no. Initially, also, it's that say we have limited time, a lot on our plate, and not enough energy, not enough time, too much to do, and not enough energy. So, what is it that's in our hand? What we can do is address the energy part of our equation, right? So, there, paying some specific attention to food, the kind of food that we eat, because your food becomes you, isn't it? Right? So, I would say, I mean, I'm not going to lecture about the benefits of vegetarianism or veganism here, but go research and see how eating fresh food, freshly grown fruits and vegetables, can help the body feel more nourished and help it recover, rejuvenate as well. And there's so many programs on nutritional healing, food as medicine rather than just food as fuel. So that's the first pillar, I would say, food. The second that we can attend to is the sleep. Having a good sleep hygiene and sleeping the right amount of time. Most of us need 6 to 8 hours of sleep for the body to rejuvenate itself and for the mind to just feel that disconnection for some time as well, right? That's what happens in sleep. You don't have awareness, but there's rest. So sleep, too much of it also makes you feel dull and too less keeps you on edge, right? The third is the breath, the third pillar, where you use the breath as a source of energy. Different breathing techniques can help revive our energy in different ways. And the fourth is a pleasant state of mind. You see, many people say, when do you feel relaxed? It's like when I'm with loved ones or when I'm like doing something that I love, right? Listening to music, painting, spending time in nature, playing with my pets or playing with my kids or being with my loved ones, right? With family. When your mind is relaxed, then you also feel more energy. When you're anxious, when you worry for 20 minutes, you feel like you've done 8 hours of hard labor, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting. The same time gets stretched. When you're happy, you can't, the time feels like it's flying.
Yeah.
But when you're unhappy, it's just stretched so much.
Yeah. Right?
So understanding these different aspects of our life can help make a big difference in the quality of our life as well.
You are quite busy and you travel and you have this job that's very high performance. So how do you personally maintain that inner peace, balance, right? That pleasant mind as you go along your work?
You know, it's very easy for me, Eileen. I practice what I preach in one sense, you know, and I have a role model. Gurudev Sri Sri Ravi Shankar travels to more than 40, 50 countries a year. He's constantly on the move. And his message is the same, that the light is within each and every one of us. And there's a veil of stress on it. You move the veil and look within. There's so much light that we have. And a lit candle can light others, isn't it? When you're happy, that's what you feel. You can share. Mm-hmm. When you're unhappy, that's what you spread around, right? So here I feel like the techniques, I'm very disciplined about them. I do my practice. In the morning, I have. So what you learn in the Art of Living program in the part one course is this sky breath meditation, a rhythmic breathing technique. And it takes you 20 minutes of practice every day in the morning. So I do that practice and I have my Sahaj Samadhi meditation, which is a complementary meditation practice, 20 more minutes in the morning. So a little bit of yoga and that. And in the evening, I have practice of Sahaj Samadhi meditation, 20 minutes as well. So like bookends to my day.
Yeah.
And I find that this keeps me energized. And what has happened over the years, Eileen, is that it's also this awareness of how interconnected we all are, whether we realize it or not. From the food that we eat, which comes from a farm, I don't know where, you know, I had some really nice chips today. I don't know where that corn has come from. Some farmer, right, who grew it. And then it was packaged by somebody else. It was shipped by somebody else. These clothes that I'm wearing have been grown by somebody and made by somebody. Right? We're all so interconnected, more than we realize. And when you realize this awareness of the interconnection of all of us, then you feel a sense of belonging. You say that, you know, it's not just my own family, but everybody, this whole community belongs to me. And with that comes a sense of commitment. A commitment to make the world better, to contribute in some way while being happy.
Yeah,
it's not about the future. Happiness is now. And so I find that a lot of the practices have helped me personally. And also it's the happiness in seeing happy people around you as well, right? That what you're doing is helping somebody. And that inspires me. That inspires me to keep moving.
How do you manage when things get difficult?
It's challenging, for sure, Eileen. There's a lot happening as well. And with all the technological transformation. So I try to constantly keep learning. So learning different ways of doing, different ways of being. And also, I'm not shy to ask for help when I need it. I go back to the breath when it's difficult. So it's a practice. It's not something that comes overnight. I would say you learn it over time with a practice, like with anything, right? It's like dental hygiene. You have to keep telling the children to brush all the time till they understand why it is. Like that, this is mental hygiene that I practice on a daily basis. And when the going gets tough, you know, I do also look to wisdom. And I feel like when your mind is open enough, then you receive wisdom from everywhere around you. There's so many places to get that. And in that sense, I'm very lucky to have a living teacher who's understood the workings of this mind. For everything else, there's Google and ChatGPT, right, these days.
Tell me more about working closely with Guru Dev, because I'm sure you gained so much wisdom, so many life lessons. How has he shaped your perspective on life and the world?
You know, with Gurudev, he walks the talk. That is the biggest thing that I've taken away, and the way I lead my own life. I find his simplicity, naturalness, and humility are very, 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 very inspiring. Very down to earth, very practical. And at the same time, reminding us that we are much more than just the mundane. It's like this one step on the ground while one foot in the air, you know, both, you know, staying grounded and still being aware of the possibilities. Mm. So even today, you know, he will wait, open the door for people, be it an elderly lady or an elderly person. He will do what it takes. You know, I've seen him personally go help make some food for the volunteers. It's not like he's doing it out of compulsion. He does it naturally. And that is very inspirational. It's something that's very simple and profound for me to see somebody of that caliber, a leader of that caliber. And at the same time, I've seen him in a lot of peace negotiations. Given my background also in conflict resolution, I've worked with Gurudev on some of these different initiatives. And I see when he goes into a meeting, when he goes into a tough situation, he is open. He does not come with his own agenda. His agenda is peace. That's it. Mm-hmm. And it's a very simple approach that he says. He says, okay, we all know there are problems, right, on both sides. Why don't you propose your solution? Why don't you propose your solution? and let's see if there's something common we can agree on. And that helps build the trust. His openness, his simplicity is very disarming. You know, you might have seen some of his videos. It's very natural, very, very approachable as well. So I find that I continue to be inspired and I continue to be amazed at the light of the spirit. You know, it's like we are all so spiritual, isn't it, in one sense? I mean, people think spirituality is something as far removed from real life. My experience has been completely different. Spirituality has what has helped me is what has helped me become more resilient. It has helped me become more committed to society, to make the world better than how I found it. So for me, that has been the experience.
Yeah. It's a lot of things, but ultimately he's someone who has the wisdom, lives the talk, but not only is he like up here so wise, but like you said, he's also grounded and he'll just be a caring person, just like an everyday caring person. He's not above or beneath anyone. And I think true spirituality is being able to see that we're all the same.
Yes.
No one's better than the other. He's not above. We're just on the same level. And let's find out how to coexist in peace.
You know, he actually says this very beautiful thing. He says, spirituality is understanding that you go from being somebody to nobody and from nobody to everybody.
Oh, that's wise.
You see that you're part of everybody and everybody is part of you. So it's very simple. You know, he says that we need to think about human values. He was the author of the Universal Declaration of Human Values that was adopted at the UN in 2007. And he talks about treating others as you would want to be treated. Basic, that's it.
Yeah.
That is human values.
Yes.
Very simple. So friendliness, care, mm-hmm. compassion. See, we all have this as children, right? Yeah. You wouldn't wait for somebody to invite you to play on the playground. Neither did I. Just go play with whoever is there on the playground. Mm-hmm. Somehow, as in the process of growing up, we put all these different, like, you know, layers around us. And that is where I find that this technique helps us, or these tools, and the wisdom helps us go back to our natural state, which is friendly, which is caring.
Yeah.
That is what being human yes. means.
Now it makes me very curious that I know you've worked with leaders and governments in so many different countries. You seem like such a conscious, spiritual person as a leader, but I'm sure a lot of other leaders are not exactly this way. So what makes conscious leadership different from traditional leadership, and how can we make some change in our leaders?
You know, they say a society deserves the leaders it elects, in one sense, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful right. question that you've asked. And I've found that leaders represent a cross-section of us, of people. And so change has to begin with us, the way we see each other, the way we treat each other, and the way we treat the world around us. I have found a lot of bias. There's a lot of inbuilt against any sort of spirituality. Mm-hmm. In some parts of the world where I'd gone, people would say, oh, closing my eyes, that would mean letting the devil inside my heart, right? So this is the sort of misconceptions that people have. Some of the things that we've had to do over the last 45 years, I would say, and personally myself, is to help educate, meet people where they are. So what they do understand is the language of science. And when you share even the physiological benefits that these programs have, as well as the clarity of thought and decision making that they can get, there is a little bit of an opening there.
I see.
And what I've found is most leaders are people like us. They want to be able to do the right thing, but the circumstances have molded their thoughts in certain ways. And also they've become closed to hearing anything new. What the challenge that I've had, and luckily I've been able to break through to a lot of them, I wouldn't say all of them,
yeah.
which is meeting them where they are and mm-hmm. not trying to convince them, but sharing with them how this has helped so many other people as well and how it will help their communities. When they mm-hmm. see that, and it's just easy as breathing, you know, when they feel that benefit themselves, then there's a transformation. Like Gurudev, I also believe that inside everyone there is a positive human being. Like the atom is positively charged at the center, the nucleus, and the electrons, the negatively charged particles, are just around it, orbiting it. Like that, at our core, we are love. We are peace. We are joy. And all the negativities are circling around. So when we become in touch with our real self, then there's a transformation in the way we see the world. And this is true even among leaders. And so a lot of it is also about stress. They don't have enough time and energy, right? So when you say this is something that will give you more energy to do the right thing, then they become more ready to do this. Again, it's about time. But as a student of economics and political science, you know, there's this theory that says when 1.3% of the population subscribes to a set of beliefs or values, then that becomes a movement that can impact the entire society.
Wow.
So what we can do as conscious leaders in the world is to inspire others to think more reflectively, think more about how their actions or inactions are affecting people around, and help them find ways to manage themselves, their own minds and emotions. That then is the beginning of a transformation in society towards a more divine, a more happy society.
I'm sure you have seen this trend in growth of these topics of meditation and spirituality in the past 10, 20 years. Are you seeing that trend as well in leaders around the world? And what is your take on that?
Absolutely. I think more and more leaders today are embracing meditation and conscious breathing, conscious leadership, because they've seen how beneficial it is to others. They see that their peers are doing it and are more efficient. They're more on the ball. They're able to deliver and still have some energy left, right? I would say it's a virtuous spiral where people are becoming more conscious of their need to stay focused, because attention is the currency of leadership, right? You need to be able to give attention, and you need to be able to hold people's attention as well. And for that, presence of mind is critical. And presence of mind can only come when you know how to manage your thoughts, which are constantly flying around everywhere. So I have seen a positive trend in that sense. Even here, we've met with several leaders, a few senators and people in the law enforcement, as well as people in reform, people who are working in civil society. And all these leaders find that this is the biggest challenge of our time. Our young people are either stuck in aggression or in depression. They're swinging between these two extremes. Mm-hmm. Now, how do they manage themselves? And what sort of a future are we trying to create? So the work that we are doing is helping these leaders and their communities as well. Because all of us have minds.
Yes, and we have so many challenges and so many technology that will distract us.
Yes.
Let's talk about the meditation programs you guys have brought to over 100 college campuses. So what does that look like, and why is this work so important to you?
See, this is the future of our society, right? This is the future of the world. These are the minds that will have to live not like in the distant future. This is in the next 5-10 years when artificial intelligence is going to transform the entire landscape of work, of the way we manufacture, the way we live, right? So what is needed is for human beings to find the confidence and courage within themselves to tap into their own innate absolute intelligence. Gurudev calls it absolute intelligence, that gut instinct, that ability, that confidence in yourself to take on challenges with a smile. And intelligently, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of being afraid of it. When you're afraid, that's when you make mistakes. And often, a lot of us treat something unknown as like an adversary. Right? We have an adversarial relationship with the unknown. What these programs have helped is helped young people deal with this uncertainty. It has helped them strengthen their minds, deal with the anxiety. So What does this program entail? It entails some of the breathing techniques, some reflective questions. What are we really here for? What does happiness mean to me? Reflecting on some of these questions and connecting with one another, connecting with your peers. See, we are so much connected now on social media, right? On LinkedIn, on Instagram, on YouTube, Facebook, millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people we are connected to. But how is it that so many of us feel alone and left out? This is the crux of the problem.
Yeah.
Helping people feel more connected. So this work is very important to us because this is the future of our humanity. So we're in 147 college campuses in North America. We're in 45 campuses here in South America as well. In Germany, another 50 campuses. And so there's a lot of work that's happening in college campuses and in schools, helping at-risk youth as well as regular, like school-going kids, learn techniques to manage their negative emotions so that when they get angry, they don't go end up beating somebody else or doing something that they will regret. They're able to control it, manage it better, and deal with it in a more intelligent way.
Yes. You said it right in the beginning where we teach so much in schools, but for some reason we don't teach this. We don't teach emotional management. We don't teach confidence. We don't teach resilience. And those are the things that we need the most in this Absolutely. Current age with AI and technology. We need to lean into these, the human resilience and the human strength.
Absolute intelligence.
Yes, absolute intelligence. I love that. Otherwise, it's so easy to be pulled around by everything you see online, so easy to be influenced.
You know, Eileen, you learn one of these techniques, one tenet in these programs that you learn is not to be a football of others' opinions.
That's a good one.
Very often we are so swayed. Somebody says something about my sweater, that's all I can think about. You know, they say, oh, this color was too light or it's too dark. Why did you wear that? And that's all I can remember. Never mind that they complimented me on 10 other things. So when you become aware of this tendency of your mind, that it tends to focus on the negative, then you're able to do something about it. And you understand that people's opinions change all the time. Your own opinion changes about others all the time, isn't it? Even about yourself often. Mm-hmm. So when you give yourself the freedom to change your opinions, you can also give others the opinion, the freedom to change their opinions. So then you become more relaxed. You don't get thrown around. You're not a football of others' opinions. Of course, you also have to be smart about this and not say my doctor's opinion is that I shouldn't have French fries every evening, but it's his opinion. There's a fine line between advice and opinion, right?
Right.
So it's up to us to understand that. So there are some of these tips that are part of this program that can help us become more resilient, become stronger in our own self.
What is your advice to our listeners about confidence and resilience? Anything that you've learned that's worked for you in your life?
You know, just be natural. Be yourself. And that is what you need to take this world on. You know, you are joy, you are love, you are peace. And when you discover that, it brings such confidence. It brings such comfort. And when you operate from that space, you find that things become a lot smoother. Even if it's difficult, you're able to take on that. It's not about looking at life as, oh, everything is hunky-dory, right? There are challenges, but you feel in a better position to take it on. But for that, go back to being natural. Be yourself. And for that, you need to be able to get rid of the stress.
Yes.
My advice would be learn to manage your own mind and make that a priority. Make your mental hygiene a priority.
If you could leave the listeners with one spiritual or life lesson that you return to again and again, what is that?
You know, the one lesson I've realized is that we're more than just this body. We're more than just our thoughts and emotions. There's something much, much lighter and brighter within us. What is that? So finding that, I would say, is truly the journey and the destination itself. And it's a very enjoyable journey. And that's why I would say it's an art. So, and that's why it's called the art of living in one sense as well. Right? So I would say learn that art and see that life is beautiful. And when your mind is calm and clear, then you can see that life is truly beautiful.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Ajay. Where can we find you and how can we learn more about Art of Living online?
Eileen, I'm on Instagram, AJ Tejasvi, and you can find out more about the Art of Living on artofliving.org, artofliving.org.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your wisdom today. I just feel like you're a pure soul and you truly are like living as just a happy, very peaceful being. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Eileen. Thank you. What a pleasure to meet with you. And I hope to see you sometime when I'm out in Los Angeles as well.
Thanks so much for listening to The Lavender Lifestyle. If you like the podcast, please share your support by leaving a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can also subscribe to our podcast YouTube channel at youtube.com/lavenderlifestyle and follow our Instagram @lavenderlifestyle. Sending you so much love. Bye.